Blog Talk Radio.
Probably her best, she was a big, great big fat woman who was part of the Mamas and the Papas, and she died choking on a piece of food, as I recall. Of course, among the great late 60s songs that she sang, she could really belt it out, was If You're Coming to San Francisco, no, not If You're Coming to San Francisco, California, and then I Call Your Name, among other things. Among the deaths today, another a great actor, unique voice, played in many gangster films, Paul Stewart. The judge who allowed the Pentagon Papers to be released, even though the government, the Nixon administration, tried to block them, Federal Judge Gerhard Gesell, one of the cheapest men in politics. I had met him, and also in the baseball field. I met him many years ago. Charles O'Finley, he bought the Oakland Athletics and the Oakland A's, as they were called, and I understand he was very cheap, even dealing with his star baseball players. He died in 1996, and a few tears for him. And then we had Deng Xiaoping, who was supposed to be, he died, in his 90s, and he was a survivor of the Long March, the 5,000 March from the Japanese and from the Nationalists that Mao and people like Chou En-lai accomplished to in World War II to escape the Nationalists, the Chiang Kai-shek's people. Deng Xiaoping died, I think it was about 96 or 90, in his 90s anyway, and he was the leader of Communist China, or Red China as we used to call it. And I believe he met with Nixon when Nixon flew to China during the early part of his administration. Among the events today, this is a little-known historical event, but it's very relevant. In 1807, British Admiral, Vice Admiral Duckworth, he was in command of, second-in-command of a British naval force that was fighting in the Anglo-Turkish War. And ironically, the Russians were on our side this time, but 50 years later in the Crimean War, Britain, and France were fighting the Russians and the Turks. Anyway, this was the first attempt to penetrate the Dardanelles and to sink the Turkish fleet at that time, and it was a failure. Now, whether or not this 1807 military expedition influenced Winston Churchill when he was first Lord of the Admiralty in World War I, we don't know. But anyway, Captain Trevor Hodges, Hodges at that time, a British citizen, was in the Guards, and he had served, he was at Gallipoli, and I did an interview, his only interview, ironically, that he ever did, thanks to the Australian consulate, when I came back from Australia, they referred me, he said, did you know that a survivor of Gallipoli lives in San Jose, California? And they gave me the phone number, and we went down and had lunch and spent the afternoon and did interviews. Unfortunately, we didn't have video at the time. But anyway, he told me that the strategy was sound, and if they had a different admiral at the time, they had an admiral who was discouraged by the sinking of one of the major British ships, which was struck by a mine, and also they had landed on the wrong beach. But Captain Trevor Hodges thought that had they had better and more daring military leadership, they would have succeeded by knocking Turkey out of the war. Turkey in World War I was allied with the Germans, with the Kaiser. And, of course, Churchill always thought of this strategy, kept talking about the soft underbelly of Europe, even in World War II. He seemed to have this fascination with that part of the world. But anyway, Duckworth was a disaster, a near disaster for the British. They withdrew, and Duckworth later was the last British naval officer to talk to Napoleon before Napoleon was sent to St. Helena, that the barren island, when he was sent after his defeat at Waterloo. Duckworth had quite an interesting career, but this is a part of history that we need to explore more. He was also a British officer who twice was nearly court-martialed. This is interesting. Only one other British admiral, Admiral Byng, was not only court-martialed, but he was hung for incompetence. It's quite interesting. It gets back to that old theory, you need to shoot a few generals and hang a few admirals to make your point. Also on this date, Vice President Aaron Burr was accused of treason. Remember, he tried to seized Louisiana, and of course there was the infamous duel in which he shot and killed Alexander Hamilton. Burr was tried and he was acquitted, but he was one of the sleaziest characters in American history. Also on this day, we had the first successful insanity defense, a guy named Dan Sickles. I don't think he was to General Sickles, who lost his leg, in which that leg in the Civil War, that leg was part of the War Military Medical Museum in the Pentagon, which I saw when I was in Washington in the 90s when I had meetings with government officials on corruption here in San Francisco. But his was the first successful insanity plea defense. Excuse me. Also on this day, one of the great Russian czars, Alexander II, he abolished serfdom. And for all his trouble, he was assassinated. And his son, Alexander III, decided that he was going to crack down on people like Lenin's older brother and the rest of the anarchists and Bolsheviks at that time. In 1881, we talk about bleeding Kansas. Kansas was the first state to abolish the drinking of alcoholic beverages. Isn't that interesting? I think Carry Nation also came out of Kansas, and certainly that part of the country. And also in the state, W.K. Kellogg and Charles Bowen started the town of Battle Creek, Michigan, which later became the headquarters for Kellogg. The Kellogg Cereal Company, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, and also this medical facility to encourage people to have better nutritional habits. I guess that's the way of putting it. And let's see. Now, what's going on here in California? For a long time, people have back east have adhered and followed Horace Mann's advice, go west, young man. Of course, women went west, too, not as many at that time. Anyway, we are seeing more and more of these political migrants who come to California with an agenda. They don't come here to contribute and create. They come here to many of them, a growing number of them, come here to co-op is everything from, for instance, the bicycle agenda. We have this Florida migrant named Leah Shahum, who's been quoting, throwing figures at us to justify this great expense of these bicycle lanes, which are installed in front of fire stations, police stations, first responder facilities, and claiming that these things don't cost the American taxpayer much or if any money, but yet we're seeing figures from $5,000 to maybe $20,000 per bicycle lane. Yet these bicyclists do not, here in California, mostly, especially in San Francisco, do not pay parking fees. They do not pay for drivers for bicycle license plates. They do not pay for liability insurance when they injure or kill somebody. And so we're getting this constant barrage of bicycle BS propaganda from these migrants who come here, and they have no qualifications in transportation issues. They just have an agenda with little or no accountability. So we'll get into more of this because it's affecting the whole country. Not only that, these bicycles for rent, cities from Montreal, Toronto, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, these bicycles for day leases are a disaster. The program is losing money. The people are very upset because these bicyclists do not observe the rules of the roads wherever they go. They're reckless, they're arrogant. A lot of them, there are too few of them. There are a few that signal their intentions. They try to be recognized that when you put your wheels on the road, you obey the rules of the road, whether they're two wheels or four or more. So this is one of the things that are affecting people's attitudes toward this, what has been called the latte leisure agenda, where these people with the bicycles have a lot of disposable income for latte, for liquor, for wine, for beer bars, for fancy meals, travel, and those who are into illegal drugs like cocaine and marijuana, I have this disposable income. They pay for nothing. Now, what's interesting is the history of bicycles in the West here, that before the 1906 earthquake, bicycles were popular in San Francisco. Then the earthquake occurred, and they found out not only they couldn't get around on bicycles, they couldn't use horses, and as a result, the guy who later bought Seabiscuit, the famous horse, was in the auto dealership business, and he provided the automobiles to San Franciscans and Californians after the 1906 earthquake. Of course, we'll get into this man. There's a famous movie on Seabiscuit, and this is one of the aspects of historical aspects of how a guy who was selling automobiles provided the transportation for San Franciscans and Californians after the 1906 earthquake because people couldn't get around on bicycles. Now, the bicycle was invented by Germans, but they don't use them like some of these bicycle agenda people here in California and in the United States and in Canada. And during World War II, when the Germans occupied Western Europe and France, Denmark, Holland, they banned the captive peoples from owning automobiles as much as possible. And, of course, people were getting around limited on bicycles, but Jews were banned from owning bicycles or even traveling on them. So it's very interesting how this whole bicycle agenda has some history. The Nazis in World War II and the abuses that the Nazis inflicted on the captive peoples in Western Europe. Now we're going to get more into the water drought issues here in California. For instance, you go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. We just put up the latest video featuring the anti-Governor Edmund Brown reelection slogan, "If it's brown, flush it down." And the origin of that was in part to the failure of the Brown administration to deal with the Watts riots in August 11th through the 17th of 1965. I do remember that, and I do remember as a college student on break, semester break, coming out to visit my relatives in Southern California. I saw these bumper stickers, if it's brown, flush it down. I didn't know what it meant at that time. And now we know. Now, California, this isn't the first drought that California has, and in our part two and part three of what we're going to put up on YouTube, and also which we will discuss on this the new shadow here, what hippies did during the hippie period in the Haight-Ashbury when they were living in communes and crashing in housing. And I did some volunteer work in the Haight from 1968 through 1976 on how hippies were doing things like showering with a friend. If it's brown, flush it down, but if it's yellow, it's mellow. And all kinds of things that they did to lower their water utility bill. So we're beginning into that. And also the U.S. Army General Philip Berrigan, who was also a military engineer, an expert on water resource issues, which he did. He restored and administered the restoration of the water management systems in Europe after World War II. He also was the American chief engineer on the American side and its participation with the Canadians on the St. Lawrence Seaway. He also retired here in San Francisco, and he worked on the Clean Water Program, which you rarely hear about, and did a rare interview with him. He had never been interviewed on this topic of the drought and water issues here in California. He also worked with General Patton, fascinating man. Now, also, we're seeing the Olympics in Sochi, Russia, and regrettably, we've got these male video voyeur websites which have been targeting athletes like Shaun White, Daly, the British swimmer, and there are others. And some people think this is an invasion of privacy, what these guys are doing on these male video voyeur websites. And so be forewarned, these things out there are sleazy, to say the least. Now, because the construction is going on next door, we're going to end early. I was going to play, I'm afraid every time these jackhammers start that you can't hear anything, but we're going to probably, maybe I'll, let's see, what do we have today? I keep hearing that thing going. Here. This is interesting. After he left he was wounded at Gallipoli. I came down with a fever, and Captain Trevor Howard, there's an excerpt from the interview I did with him in 1984 when he talks about how he ended up on the Britannic, which is the sister ship of the Titanic. It was a hospital ship, and it also either struck a mine or was torpedoed, but he didn't drown.
A hospital ship was in the bay on the little island of Lemnos. And the British, like all governments, all military that I've come across, seem to have a lot of ridiculous rules. And one of their rules was that nobody could be sent to the hospital ship if they had a temperature. I had a temperature of 105 and sometimes 106. And I was failing fast. And the nurse came by one day, the night nurse, and she was a rather plump, regular army nurse with medals across her bosom of the Zulu War and the Matabele War and so on and so forth, lots of medals. And she said, "Mr. Hodges, when I come around tonight, I want you to be asleep. Keep your eyes shut and don't move." And I said, "What's it all about?" She said, "You'll see." Well, that night I saw this lantern coming down. It was a tent hospital. And so I obediently kept quite still, and I heard the nurse's voice saying, I heard the doctor saying, "How's this boy?" And she said, "Well, his temperature's been pretty normal the last 2 days." He said, "Fine, put him on the list." And that's how I got on the hospital ship.
There are worse ways to end up on a hospital ship. Trevor.
So that's part of the long interview I did with Captain Trevor Hodges. He later in World War One, there was a depression in England. He, like a lot of English military veterans in World War One, British services, the forces as they called, emigrated legally to the United States. We knew we were going to get into the war. FDR was trying to figure out a way to get us in. He was working with Churchill. And according to Captain Hodges, that the war, he was working as vice president, I think, of Chrysler at the time, and he said that the War Department, which later became the U.S. Department of Defense, called the War Department up until the Truman administration, sent out the word that there were about 10,000 retired or ex-British military officers here in the United States, and they were trying to solicit them to come and train the new emerging American army, which they knew was going to fight in Europe as well as in the Pacific. And he was one, and he became a colonel, and he was stationed up here in the San Francisco, Northern California area, in charge of a WAC, Women's Army Corps facility. And, of course, some things he said off the record were very interesting. He wouldn't allow me to tape those. So anyway, a lot of fascinating military personnel that we have in our archives. We have a guy who, a lieutenant who served in Tito's army in after World War II in Yugoslavia, which is now being torn apart. We have a Brit who served in both the British Navy and the Canadian Navy and went up to Murmansk and all this. We've had a British former policeman who was also in the British Expeditionary Force in Greece, which Churchill was determined that Greece was not going to be allowed to turn communist. So we have a lot of these interesting people, and also the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who was also in World War II, served at Monte Cassino, and he'll be talking. We did a rare interview with him on the nuclear issue, testing in the Pacific and its effect on the environment and water and fish down there. So we'll be back Friday. Hopefully they'll be finished with this construction next door. It's very distracting. So we're going. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. You can also listen to the broadcasts that are now listed on our AmicusVeritas.net. We had an attack on our websites and our blog, so it's AMICUSVERITAS.net. So in now with Politics and Poker, our theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Ready?
Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of? Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met them.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll stay. Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich.
I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
We'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we will be getting into part two of what you can do to save water, and part two that what's really going on here in the West Coast, especially California, because this isn't the first drought we have. Of course, people back east are worried about snow and ice, and when it does melt, you'll have all the water you want in the form of slush. So stay safe. Try to stay warm. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. We're also on Vimeo, and I think one of the other VEOH, I think. So I got to talk to the other people involved. And we're still going through our archives and transferring from cassette tape interviews that we've done with many historical figures, stuff that you won't hear, material that you won't hear. On probably any other media in the world. It's Peter Paul Brazilla. Good night.